Welcome to Take Note on WPSU. I'm Patty Satalia. The elections are almost here, and Pennsylvania's Senate race is one of the country's most closely watched races. Republican Senator Pat Toomey and his Democratic challenger Katie McGinty are in a neck-and-neck contest, the outcome of which could play a pivotal role in which party controls the Senate next year. Where do the candidates stand on the issues? Who will earn your vote? We invited both candidates to talk with us. Senator Toomey declined our invitation. Today, our guest is Katie McGinty, former chief of staff for Governor Tom Wolf. McGinty served as secretary of the Department of Environmental Protection under Governor Ed Rendell, and before that was chair of the White House Council on Environmental Quality under Bill Clinton. Between government positions, she served on the board of directors of several energy-related firms. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You've never held elected office before, despite the fact that you ran for governor. So what makes you qualified to be a United States senator, and why do you want the job?
Well, I think, first of all, I think people are a little tired of career politicians, and they like it when somebody brings a fresh and a different point of view, and I think that is what I do bring. And I want to be have the honor of serving as United States Senator first and foremost because, look, I come from a hardworking family, you know, 9th of 10 kids. My dear dad walked the beat as a police officer, and my mom was a hostess in a restaurant. And, you know, what I learned growing up was that hard work matters, and when you work hard, you should be able to realize your dreams. But what I see across the Commonwealth and the country is just far too many people giving it their all. And they either are just not making ends meet, or they're getting crushed with college debt or crushed with health care costs. And I think it's incredibly important to the future of this country that we make it so again. If you're willing to put in your hard work, you can get ahead in this country. You can take care of yourself and your kids.
I want to talk about those issues. But first, I want to mention a Muhlenberg College poll, which shows that 51% of likely voters have neither a positive or negative opinion of you. And part of the reason is they don't know enough about you. So I want to know what you're doing to convince, you know, you have an advantage in your hometown of Philadelphia, but what are you doing to convince voters in central Pennsylvania and in the western part of the state that you're the right person for the job? And I'd like to know what you think is really at stake in this election.
Well, look, we have had a great time traveling every corner of this Commonwealth. And as an environmentalist, let me just say my carbon footprint right now is not the best. But it's been an exhilarating time because we have been reaching communities in every part of the state, whether rural, whether urban. And the story is largely the same, that people see incredible promise in terms of what they hope to achieve themselves or their children achieve, but they do see the deck stacked against them. You know, and they do see folks like Pat Toomey, you know, not going to bat for their interest. This recent Wells Fargo story captures it in many ways when 2 million accounts were hacked and people's good credit rating run into the mud and people literally robbed by their own bank. Well, I immediately stood up for the victims. I immediately stood up for the good, hardworking people who were just trying to save a few bucks. But Pat Toomey took to the microphones to say, we ought to take the consumer protection cop off the beat. His priority was to say that we should defund the very organization that blew the whistle on Wells Fargo. Well, for goodness sakes, people have every right to see so transparently that, you know, Washington hasn't been working for them. And Pat Toomey in Washington, 18 years now, has been going to bat for the banks for sure, but not for average hardworking people. And the enthusiasm I see out there is from men, women, moms, dads in every part of the state. Hey, she's one of us. She knows what it is to come from a working family. And finally, we might have a champion for our issues and our interests in Washington.
This past summer, you actually put out 5 policy papers, your campaign did, on a number of issues. Wall Street reform was one of them, affordable higher ed, revitalizing manufacturing, women and working families, and strengthening Medicare and Social Security. I want to talk a little bit about Wall Street, since you just brought that up. You'd like to see the Dodd-Frank Act bolstered. Your opponent says that that Wall Street reform agenda has been a disaster for small banks, and in fact has caused small banks to have to merge with big banks because they can't keep up with the regulations. How do you respond to that?
Well, listen, Senator Toomey has not been going to bat for our communities or those who invest in our communities. He made his millions among the high flyers on Wall Street. And though he's changed his title to senator, in Washington, he works overtime every day to try to undo some of the consumer protections that have been put in place, whether it's taking the consumer protection watchdog off the beat, whether it is not stepping up when we have seen families exposed to fraud in student loans. My own experience in the regulatory arena says to me, look, we don't want endless paperwork and bureaucracy. And in the initiatives I've put forward, I have very specifically called for cutting back on that paperwork and red tape, especially for small and community banks. And I will champion those institutions that are investing in our local businesses and standing with their customers to provide loans for homes, et cetera. But what we have to have, though, is protections for the average consumer who every day, whether it's in fraudulent student loans, whether it is what we saw with Wells Fargo in charging fees for accounts that weren't asked for, whether it's people's good credit rating being dragged down, we need to stand up for average innocent consumers, and that's something that I'm going to do. More broadly, we have, Senator Toomey's proposal is to end all taxes on big corporations. That's a almost $500 billion giveaway to big corporations, and he sends the bill to middle-class families, $3,000 a year more taxes there. That's the wrong approach. I want to stick up for families that are working hard.
Well, two things here. You mentioned Pat Toomey's Wall Street roots. Your environmental credentials are well established, but critics say that the way you moved between the public and the private sector blurred the lines and put your resume under a cloud of sorts, that you used your role as a government official to profit from what's called the revolving door. How do you respond to that charge?
Well, I mean, Pat Toomey has said that, and all of his ads to that effect have, by independent fact checkers, been declared to be false, misleading, not true. But here's the difference between Senator Toomey and myself. I have been about one thing and one thing particularly in my career, whether I'm wearing a public sector hat or in private business, and that is I'm about jobs while protecting the environment. And I'm a hard charger. I pushed for change and brought Pennsylvania from a laggard state to a state that was internationally recognized as on the cutting edge of sustainability and climate change and renewable energy. And similarly, the businesses that I've associated with have become leaders in building and growing renewable energy, energy efficiency, a clean energy economy. Pat Toomey made his millions on Wall Street. But then when he moved into the public sector, became a congressman, became a senator, he wasn't going to bat for the public interest. He's been going to bat for the very banks that have been his buddies and colleagues all along. That's perverting the public interest to his own private ends. That's the revolving door. That is wrong.
You mentioned climate change, and climate change continues to be one of the most divisive issues in this election cycle. But unlike some conservative figures, Pat Toomey actually acknowledged that global warming exists, but he's agnostic on the crucial question of whether it's a product of human activity. And his solution would be a free enterprise solution, that cap and trade solutions would do nothing to stop global warming and would be devastating to jobs. How would you approach correcting climate change? And how would you get conservatives on board, since most experts agree that there will be no solution without them?
Well, first of all, in terms of this old canard that Pat Toomey wants to play in, which is, if you're for the environment, if you try to protect the environment, you're going to crush the economy or cost us jobs. You know, every time that's the same old refrain, and it really is just a big excuse to not take on pollution that we need to take on. My experience in almost 30 years now is that smart environmental policy actually drives economic growth and enables you to create good jobs, just like I achieved when I was Secretary of Environmental Protection. And we went from not playing in the renewable energy space in 2003 when I came into office to building alliances, as I did, with Republicans in the legislature, attracting some of the biggest clean energy companies in the world to come to Pennsylvania. And by the end of the day, we had 3,000 new jobs. It was $1 billion in new investments. And we were one of the very leading states in the entire country in wind energy jobs, in solar energy jobs, and in energy efficiency. By the way, just our energy efficiency initiatives save ratepayers $300 million a year. And I do have to chuckle a little bit with a Pat Toomey saying, what do I know about climate change? I'm not a scientist. I don't see that same attitude when it comes to women's private health choices, because then Pat Toomey is an MD and a PhD all wrapped up into one, working hard to take away women's private health choices, including going so far way out of the mainstream to try to shut the entire federal government down to take away women's health care. So no consistency there. And I think we've heard that excuse for a long, long time. That dog don't hunt.
Well, I want to get back to women's issues in a minute, but the number of conservative voters who now believe in climate change has almost doubled in the past 2 years, according to a Yale and a George Mason University study, which is encouraging. Nonetheless, I'm wondering what Democrats will do to get more on board in terms of a solution, because I think it's critical.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And for me, I think we really do need to make it about jobs. This is a common theme for me across a lot of environmental challenges. When we look at things like, for example, the lead in water tragedy, really, in Flint, Michigan, and I think we know we've got antiquated water systems in Pennsylvania as well. To me, that's a recipe for job creation. Let's take on rebuilding our infrastructure. You know, put people to work ripping out that old lead pipe. We're solving an environmental problem, but we are creating good jobs and we are building the foundation for robust growth going forward. I think about climate change the very same way. We've got in many parts of the country an electric grid that's probably 150 years old or something along those lines. And geez, the whole nature of commerce has changed, where now so much of our commerce runs and travels on electrons, in addition to 18 wheels and 18 wheelers, if you will. And so what that says to me is, hey, let's put people to work upgrading that grid, build a smart grid. And when we do that, then that's a grid that it can accommodate huge new investments from solar energy and wind energy. We can get into battery technology. And I do think that Republicans are ready to, or at least in my experience, I've been successful in bringing Republicans to the table when you don't make it divisive and you don't say you have to, believe everything I believe, chapter and verse. But how about we find common ground around the jobs we can create?
Well, speaking of jobs, the key public concerns in the U.S. today are the economy, jobs, and dysfunctional government. But let's start with jobs. There has been good news on the economic front with reports of an increase in household income and lower unemployment, but economic anxiety persists. This is something you've been working on. You have a policy paper on this issue. How specifically should we address that? What's needed beyond some of what you talked about in terms of the environment to create jobs?
Yeah. So I think for one thing, thankfully, with President Obama's leadership, we did come back from the brink. It's almost impossible to think now of 800,000 jobs a month that were being lost when the president came into office. And now we've had the longest, most continuous string of job creation, I think, in the history of the country. What has lagged is people's wages. So even as we now see an uptick in where incomes are going, for many Americans, and I think it's accurate to say for most Americans, their income in real terms is not much more or maybe even less than it was in the 1990s. That's what we have to take on and turn around. And I would do several things to take that on. One, I think for those who have skills that we can invest in and develop, like my own brothers who are X-ray certified welders and heavy equipment operators, let's get back to job training and apprenticeship programs to develop those skills. Good news, Patty, I hear employers around this Commonwealth, from small businesses to big manufacturing facilities, saying they want to hire. They need people to have the skills as machinists and welders, et cetera, to put them to work. Second, for those who are going to college, there's smart things we can do to bring the cost down, like allowing families to refinance the cost of college, to refinance and take advantage of low interest rates, and I would push that. But let's grab those skill sets then and do things like rebuild our infrastructure to create jobs, get back in the game of advanced manufacturing. And here's something I feel strongly about. We need to be paying people a decent wage. So I am very much for increasing the minimum wage, and I certainly am for equal pay for equal work. You know, the economists tell us if we would take those smart steps and join the rest of the industrialized world in enabling people fully to participate in the workforce through those initiatives, it would boost our economy by almost $500 billion a year. And boy, do we need that shot in the arm.
I want to talk a little bit more about this minimum wage. But first, for those who are just joining us, this is Take Note on WPSU. I'm Patty Satalia, and our guest is Katie McGinty, who is neck and neck with incumbent Republican Senator Pat Toomey in one of the most closely watched Senate races in the country. McGinty was Secretary of the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection under Ed Rendell and served as chair of the White House Council on Environmental Quality under Bill Clinton. Most recently, she was chief of staff for Governor Tom Wolf. In addition to other candidate interviews, this interview will be posted on our website. Senator Toomey declined our invitation to be interviewed on this program. President Obama has endorsed a $10.10 an hour, a more moderate minimum wage, and many Democrats, however, are fighting for $15. There are some who say a $15 minimum wage makes sense if you live in Seattle or New York City, where the cost of living is high, but that it doesn't make as much sense in rural Pennsylvania, for example. So when you say increase the minimum wage, what number are you comfortable with?
Well, I have supported the fight for 15 and have been part of the fight for 15. And I do think, you know, the details do matter. And most of those proposals, like the ones I have supported, endorsed by 200 plus economists, they have phase-in schedules. And so it would be over a number of years where you would achieve that $15. But I think what's critically important here is to recognize that 70% of our economy is driven by consumer purchasing power. That's the structure of our economy in the United States. And so it is when we put more money in working people's pockets that they are out there as more active consumers and purchasers. And that drives our economy. That creates jobs. That stimulates growth and enables us to lift people up and move forward.
Now, you have also been very strong and vocal about investing in women, especially women in small business creation. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, this is very exciting to me. And I think in terms of women in business, just focus on that for a second. Boy, it's a very impressive track record. What you see in terms of female entrepreneurs, I've seen statistics that say that they way outpace male counterparts in terms of the number of female-led businesses or women startup businesses that double and triple their growth projections. So women out there starting businesses are successful and can be successful. But here's the other thing. They so often do not get the same access to startup capital. I think it's something like a fraction of the private equity, the venture capital, the investment dollars that male-led firms achieve. And so I'd love to take that on and partner with enterprising women business leaders. And I think that we also need to make sure, and this is a broader point for me, I'm very strong in terms of buy American. I think if we're spending our tax dollars, we ought to be buying goods and services from the companies that are invested in our communities, that are hiring our neighbors. And here, I think we can also give women a greater shot in competing for those dollars than they've had to date. But let me also say this last thing, though. Whether it is child care or whether it is allowing people to earn some days off if they're sick or if their children are sick, these really are family issues as much or more than they are, quote-unquote, women's issues. And the growth that we could realize in enabling some 5.5 million women be able fully to enter the workforce through these initiatives would be one of the best and smartest things we could do to grow our economy, let alone being the absolute morally right thing to do for our families. As you would guess, Senator Toomey disagrees with me on all of this and has voted repeatedly against increasing the minimum wage and has voted repeatedly against giving women equal pay for equal work.
Well, let's talk about some other differences and similarities. You can't talk about jobs without talking about trade deals. And I think many people probably have heard that Pat Toomey, a free market conservative, has just come out against the Trans-Pacific Partnership, something that you are opposed to. Others say, though, when you were part of the Clinton administration, when you were an advisor with the Clinton administration, you did support NAFTA. So tell us what the difference is in your views when it comes to international trade deals.
Well, as I articulated at the outset, my top priority is the creation of good-paying jobs. That's what I think is most urgently needed in our Commonwealth and our country. With that being the case, when even the proponents of this trade deal, which is referred to as TPP, when the proponents say that this deal will cost us at least 50,000 good-paying and largely manufacturing jobs every year, for me, that's QED full stop. We can't afford that. We can't afford it when so many families aren't making ends meet, even though they're working so hard. Now, in terms of Senator Toomey, you know, his position on this just isn't credible. This very same deal, months ago, he was one of the leading champions in Washington to fast track it through for passage and had many instances in pushing this and calling it a very good deal. But it's part of a pattern, I think, of not being straight on the issues, flip-flopping on this issue. Gun safety. When in Philadelphia, Pat Toomey tries to tell voters, hey, I'm for gun safety. Everywhere else in the state, he says, geez, I have a perfect record by the NRA. And not being straight. And I think one of the things that's been most concerning to me and not leveling with voters is the whole situation with respect to Donald Trump, 16 months into a presidential campaign, and Senator Toomey wants us to believe that he hasn't heard enough yet from Donald Trump to make up his mind. So trade is part of a pattern here of where the senator has not been straight with his record, has not apparently had the courage of his convictions to tell voters where he stands and why.
Well, you just mentioned guns. And interestingly, despite the fact that he has an A rating from the NRA, Pat Toomey did receive endorsements from Gabby Giffords and Michael Bloomberg, two strong gun control advocates.
Well, I think that the people who know Senator Toomey best, namely Ceasefire Pennsylvania, have endorsed me in this race, and they've been clear that while the senator lent his name once to someone else's legislation, Joe Manchin from West Virginia, in his own words, the senator dropped it like a hot potato when it only lost by 5 votes. And then I think in a really unconscionable set of moves, even after San Bernardino and Orlando refused to reintroduce the legislation and then voted not once but twice against closing the loophole that allows terrorists to buy guns in the United States of America and turn those guns on innocent people. It's not a record of late leadership, and the senator makes that clear himself in speaking out of both sides of his mouth, depending on what side of the state that he happens to be in.
Well, here's where he is strong. He is opposed to sanctuary cities. There are 340 sanctuary cities in the country, Philadelphia being one of them. He introduced the Stop Dangerous Sanctuary Cities Act, and I'd like to know from you whether you think it protects Americans or not, and whether you'd like to see it go or stay.
Well, I wouldn't say that the senator is particularly strong on this issue. I mean, the senator's been in Washington for 18 years. Now, in a tough reelection campaign, he has landed on this as an issue he wants to focus on. But let's look at the facts. The best thing we can do to ensure the safety of our communities is to make sure that we have a community policing program that's robust and that we have cops on the beat. I know this firsthand from my own dear dad, who literally walked the beat for 25 years plus. But Senator Toomey's been the guy, you know, Mr. Anti-Government, who has led the charge to try to cut the cops program. And he's gone further still and voted to end a program that gives law enforcement really life-saving equipment. It's called the 1033 program.
But what I was asking you is, if you were elected, would you support Philadelphia's policy of ignoring requests from Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement to detain an individual for an additional 48 hours?
Well, I've been very clear. If someone is a criminal, whether they're documented or undocumented, they need to be behind bars. Law enforcement at every level needs to work together to that end. You know, that's the heart of this. Law enforcement working together with the resources they need to get the job done. And I don't care if your hair is blue, black, orange, or green. If you're a criminal, you should be behind bars. If you threaten the safety and security of our communities, you ought to be locked up.
All right. We can't end this conversation without some discussion on college affordability, this being our studios being located in the heart of Penn State University. As you know, the cost of college education has gone up for public education. It's tripled in the last 3 decades. And of course, this has resulted in skyrocketing student debt and has locked young people, millennials, out of the housing market. So the ripple effect is something that we all feel. How can we make college affordable? What would you do if you were elected to the U.S. Senate?
Well, first, I do want to take hats off to some of the initiatives that Penn State has launched here in the last year and a half or two, at least temporarily freezing tuition and trying to give families a little bit of a better break. But a couple of things are true. One, our public colleges and universities have been up against pretty drastic budget cuts, where in Pennsylvania, at any rate, some of our public colleges and universities are only receiving about 10% of their financial needs from the state. But I think we need to go further. I would want to reward those colleges and universities that do the best job of keeping a lid on costs. Second, there are some common sense things we can and should do. Interest rates are low. Let's let families refinance their college loans, just like you do a mortgage or a car loan. Third, there was bipartisan legislation to offer middle-class families tax credits better to afford college. I would thoroughly have supported that legislation. It did pass. Unfortunately, Senator Toomey voted against it. And I would also work to make sure that the nearly 300,000 students in Pennsylvania who depend on the Pell Grant program, that those resources will be there. Unfortunately, again, Senator Toomey has voted very dramatically to cut those resources, even though 300,000 of his own constituents rely on it. So I think we can put a lid on the costs, but then do market smart things like allowing people to refinance, enabling people to have some tax credits to afford college, and take away this overwhelming burden that kids and families otherwise have on their shoulders.
All right. And on that note, we're out of time. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Patty, it's been a joy. Thank you. And I hope all your listeners get out and vote, whether your flavor is Republican or Democratic. The important thing is your voice needs to be heard.
That was Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Katie McGinty. She and incumbent Pat Toomey are in a neck-and-neck race in a contest that's likely to go down to the wire. Senator Toomey declined an invitation to be interviewed on this program. You can find this interview on our website at wpsu.org/take note. I'm Patty Satalia, WPSU.